দিতে পারো তোমার সুখ দিয়াছে কৃষ্ণ সে আমি তো কাঙাল কৃষ্ণ কৃষ্ণ বলি আমি তো কাঙাল আমি তো কাঙাল কৃষ্ণ কৃষ্ণ বলি আমি তো কাঙাল ভাই তব পাছে পাছে পাচে পাচে দাই তব পাচে পাচে ওহে বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর দয়ার সাগর এ দশে করুণা করি ওহে বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর দয়ার সাগর এ দশে করুণা ঠাকুর দয়ার সাগর এ দশে করুণা করি ওহে বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর জয় বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর জয় বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর বৈষ্ণব ঠাকুর ধন মোর নিত্যানন্দ পতি মোর গৌরচন্দ্র ধন মোর নিত্যানন্দ ধন মোর নিত্যানন্দ পতি মোর গৌরচন্দ্র ধন মোর প্রাণ মোর যুগল কি প্রাণ মোর যুগল প্রাণ মোর যুগল কিশোর প্রাণ মোর অদ্বৈত আচার্য বল গদাধর মোর কুল অদ্বৈত अद्वैताचार्य जवाना गदाधर मर कुला अद्वैताचार्य जवाना मारा हरे वेला तर्पण मरा वैष्णवेर नाम तर्पण मरा वैष्णवेर तर्पण मरा वैष्णवेर नाम तर्पण करिया मने भक्ति रसाया सदने विषय विचार करिया मने भक्ति रसाया सदने मध्यस्थ श्री भगवत पुराना मध्यस्थ श्री भगवत पुराना मध्यस्थ श्री भगवत ताहे मोर मन निष्ठ वैष्णवेर उच्छिष्ट ताहे मोर मन निष्ठ वैष्णवेर उच्छिष्ट ताहे मोर मन निष्ठ ବୃନ୍ଦାବନ ଚୌତରା ତାହେ ମୋର ମନ ଘେରା କହେ ଦିନ ନର ତମ ଦାସ କହେ ଦିନ ନର ତମ ଦାସ କହେ ଦିନ ନର ତମ ଦାସ କହେ ଦିନ ଜୟ ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ଜୟ ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ଜୟ ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ଜୟ ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ଜୟ ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ଜୟ ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ଜୟ ବୈଷ୍ଣବ ଠାକୁର ନିତାଇ ଗୋଳ ହରିବ 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 ହରିବ
ବାଇ ନରୋତ୍ତମ ଦାସ ଠାକୁର ସୋ ହି ସେଜ୍ that Lord Nityananda is my wealth and Lord Gaurachandra is my master. The youthful divine couple is my life and soul. Advaitaracharya is my strength. Gadadhar is my family and Narahari-saka is my glory. The dust of the devotee's lotus feet is my bathing water. The chanting of the devotee's names is my satisfaction. Considering the merits of all Vedic literatures in the light of devotional service, I have concluded that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all scriptures. My mind is firmly convinced of the spiritual benefit obtained by eating the remnants of foodstuff left by the devotees. The names of the devotees are my happiness, and the land of Vrindavan is the enclosure within which I keep my mind. Poor-hearted Narottam Das speaks in this way. So, I wanted to sing this two bhajans to start today because we're going to speak about Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur is a very prominent associate of Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri. He's also very famous in his own right. So I'd like to go a little through some of the incidents of the life of Haridas Thakur and then speak a little bit about his particular pastimes in Jagannath Puri. So as we know, Haridas Thakur in his previous incarnation was Lord Brahma, is Lord Brahma. And when Krishna was performing his pastimes in Vrindavan, Lord Brahma happened to see him kill Agasura. And he became so intrigued seeing this small cowherd boy killing this huge demon. And he wanted to see more. So sometimes if somebody's curious to see more, learn more about somebody, they just wait and they think, well, in time I'll understand all about that person, so it will come. And sometimes they go and do something. So Lord Brahma decided to do something. So he decided that what he would do is he'd steal the cows and calves from Krishna and see how he would react. So he carried out his plan and Krishna reciprocated in so many ways. And after Lord Brahma came to his senses that actually Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he felt very ashamed of himself. And it is said that he came to apologize and he had tears in all of his eight eyes. Because of course Lord Brahma has four heads. And he bowed down on the ground and his four helmets touched the ground. And he was feeling so much ashamed, and he rose and fell and rose and fell and offered so many beautiful prayers to Lord Krishna, apologizing for his mistake. But after he finished all of these eloquent prayers, Krishna didn't say anything. He just stood there with his laddu in his hand, and then he gestured somehow that you can go now, and Lord Brahma circumambulated him and left. So after he left there, he felt that actually Krishna did not speak anything to me, so I think that he has not actually forgiven me. He felt so ashamed of himself, and he concluded that his offensive attitude came because of his pride. He was thinking that I'm the creator of everything, I'm the senior most person in the universe, so I am so significant. And because of this pride, he was thinking, I could not take part in Krishna's pastimes. I could have had some role to play, but because of my pride, I could not do so. So lamenting in this way, he went to Navadvip Dham, and there he began to perform in Antadvip austerities. And by performing his austerities, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also Sri Krishna himself, understood what Lord Brahma's heart was feeling. So he came to that place, and Lord Brahma paid his obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he blessed him and told him that I'm very pleased with your austerities, and I assure you that I have come to fulfill your desire. He said to him that you will appear in my pastimes as one of my very close associates, and you will become very famous for your humility. So this was what Lord Brahma wanted. He was thinking, I'm so highly born that I've made such a mistake. I should come as a very low-born person, so wretched, and then I can have some proper mentality and proper mood. So Lord Chaitanya said, when I appear, you will be born as Haridas. You will be famous for your humility, and you will be free from any pride. And you will constantly chant the holy names. And you will pass from this world in my presence. So there are so many stories that we know of the life of Haridas Thakur, how he appeared in a Muslim family, and how he was constantly chanting, and how Ramachandra Khan became his enemy and tried to create some scandal for him, but how he passed through that circumstance without any difficulty, and instead the woman who had come to entice him became a great elevated Vaishnavi and remained there chanting as he had chanted. And we hear also how he used to perform his bhajan in a cave, and the snake was living in the cave, and when the alternative was given that either he should leave or the snake should leave, then the snake, immediately understanding the anxiety in the devotees' minds, left the cave for good. So there are so many stories like that. And the most prominent and very important story in that Navadvip Leela, or pre-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Leela, because Haridas Thakur appeared 35 years prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it was the story of when he was arrested by the Qazi and the governor, and they tried to convince him that he should convert back to his original Muslim faith. So at that time it was the arrangement of this envious Qazi that he wanted in Fulia Gram. He wanted that he should cause some trouble to Haridas. So he had him arrested, and then he was brought before the governor. And the governor explained to him that you have given up your superior faith to accept an inferior path of Hinduism. So if you can convert back to your superior beliefs, then this will be success for you. So Haridas laughed when he was told that he should stop chanting the holy names. And he said, just see the deluding power of the Lord. There is only one God. There he is, the Lord of everything, and he has so many names, but you are trying to convince me that there are many gods and I should stop chanting his name. And then he continued to tell the governor that everybody does what makes them most happy. And this is the thing that gives me the most pleasure. So if you want to punish me for chanting the holy name, you can do so to your heart's content. But I will never for one second or one moment give up this chanting. So the governor became disturbed by this answer. And prior to bringing him to court, he had also had him arrested and placed in the prison. When he went to the prison, he saw all the prisoners there were waiting, and they wanted to see Haridas. So it describes the beauty of Haridas very briefly, that when the prisoners were waiting for the arrival of Haridas, they had their eyes fixed to the path by which he was to pass. Thakur Haridas came to the spot, and on catching sight of the prisoners, he mentally cast the glance of mercy upon them. The prisoners, fixing their eyes on the feet of Haridas Thakur, remained in the posture of obeisances. They saw that Thakur Haridas was surpassingly handsome. His hands reached down to his knees. His eyes were like lotus flowers, and his incomparable moon-like face was the most beautiful of all. So these prisoners, seeing Haridas in the prison, they had one request. They wanted him to bless them. So when he went through the prison, they had even bribed the guards that let us see this saint, because they knew he was a saint. So they were looking out of their prison cells, and he came through, blessed them with his vision. They were pleading, please give us some benediction. And he smiled at them all and said, may you always remain the way you are. So they became so disturbed. What is this? We're asking him for a benediction and he's telling us we should remain like this. So when he saw the dismay on their faces, then he understood that they had not properly understood him. So then he says, I have indeed conveyed my concealed benediction to you all by means of these words. You feel dejected because you do not understand this, but I never bless amiss. You will understand this if you give my words your close consideration. May the minds of all of you remain constantly turned towards Krishna as they actually are just now. May all of you, from now jointly chanting the eternal name of Krishna, think only of Him. There is now no malice, no thought of oppressing any creature in your hearts. May you meditate on Krishna by taking His name with all humility. If you go into the world once more, you run the risk of forgetting Him again by mixing with worldly people. Love for Krishna cannot coexist with any form of worldliness. Know it for certain that from one who is of a worldly disposition, Krishna is always very far off. The mind that is engrossed with the pursuit of objects of this world is a great nuisance. So then he went on to explain to them that they should give their hearing attentive hearing to the holy name. And it was this that he wanted to bless them with, that they would be free of any other thought and they would simply be able to chant the Lord's holy name. So then, showing the example of somebody who could chant so perfectly, he went before the governor and the governor tried him and found him guilty. And then the governor decided that the suitable punishment for somebody who'd given up their Muslim faith was to be beaten in 22 marketplaces. So then they took Haridas, and the soldiers or the servants of the governor beat him ferociously in one marketplace after another. 22 times they beat him all around this Fulia village. And many people saw this and became extremely disturbed. And some people came and they bowed down and begged the soldiers to stop beating him. And some tried by force to stop this act from taking place. And others felt very much afraid that now our whole village will become under a terrible curse for this beating of this saint. And in many ways they tried to restrain these soldiers, but they would not be stopped for anything. Because they knew that if they were to stop, if they did not kill him, they would die. So they beat him forcefully at place to place to place to place. And it is noted that Haridas Thakur did not feel any pain. He was not aware of the beating. He was simply chanting and chanting and chanting, and he was completely immune to any kind of distress. And when they had beat him 22 times, and he still was completely calm, and sometimes even smiling, then they became very disturbed. Then it is said that they said to him, they explained to him their position. At last the Yavanas put their own plight before Haridas. They said, "Haridas, you will be the cause of the death of all of us. We have beaten you to the best of our ability. But although we are fatigued to death by our severe exertions, life refuses to quit your body. It will now be our turn for the Qazi to punish us, and he will take the lives of all of us." So this pathetic and strange protest made Haridas laugh. And he said, "If my being alive be the cause of mishap to all of you, then mark me well. I will die just now before your eyes." And he fell down immediately. And they checked and he had no pulse. It was as if he had completely left his body. So they were very happy at this. And they took his lifeless body to the governor and they showed him, "See, we have beaten him and now he is dead." And the governor said, "Very good, now bury him." And the Qazi said, "No. Why should he be buried like a pious Muslim? He's an atheist. He has cheated us. He should be thrown into the river so he can suffer eternally." So they threw his body into the river. And Haridas immediately, as he floated down the Ganga, he came back to consciousness. And without even another thought of where he was or what he was doing, he came out of the water and continued chanting. And he wandered back through the village chanting again. And everybody saw, "My God, here he is again and he's chanting and he's calm. He's not dead at all." And then they realized that this is a great saint. So they offered their full prostrate obeisances to him and begged him to forgive them. And actually while they were beating him, there was only one thing troubling his mind. He had no difficulty, no pain, no distress. But he was thinking, "What will happen to them for what they're doing to me? This will be very difficult for them to be excused from this." So he was praying to the Lord, "Please excuse them for this act that they're committing right now." So when he came back, they all became converted and he became very happy by this. And he left Fulia and he went here and there continuing to chant. So after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and he went to Shantipur, Haridas also came there. And he was lamenting and saying to the Lord that now you're going to Jagannath Puri and everyone will go every year to see you. But what will happen to me? What will I do? So he was feeling very much separation from Lord Chaitanya. And he assured him, "No, you should also come and live in Jagannath Puri." So shortly after that, after Mahaprabhu finished his 6 years of touring South India, Haridas Thakur was one of the intimate associates from Navadvip who came to join him in Jagannath Puri. And at that time, Mahaprabhu gave him a special quiet residence because his humility was so great that he would never even consider to go in the Jagannath temple because he was from a Muslim family. And what to speak of going in the temple, he did not even consider walking down the main road because he thought some dust that might come from my feet might touch somebody and then they would be considered totally worthless and fallen and degraded just by touching some speck of dust that came from touching my body. So his humility was like this. So Mahaprabhu made a special arrangement for him. And he took one toothpick of Lord Jagannath and he planted it in the ground. And instantly a tree grew up, a beautiful bakul tree. The tree we have near Prabhupada's house that has these little star-shaped white flowers, that's a bakul tree. So they have little, very, very fragrant flowers that, as far as I know, they're very a popular flower with Lord Nisringadev. He likes bakul flowers, garlands, very much. So he made this tree. They're very broad, very shady. And underneath that tree, Haridas Thakur lived. And whilst living there, he would constantly chant, chanting and chanting and chanting. He would chant 3 lakhs of rounds, which took him almost the whole day and the whole night. And this was his regular vow, and every day he chanted like this. And every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come by on his way back from the temple to visit Haridas. Because he could not go in to see Lord Jagannath, the Lord personally would come to him. This is the amazing good fortune of Haridas Thakur. So now I want to read a little bit about the passing away of Haridas Thakur, which is also a pastime that took place in Jagannath Puri. One day, Govinda, as he used to always do, he came to see Haridas Thakur. And when he saw him, he saw that Haridas Thakur was lying down. So he wanted to give him the prasad. But he said that he could not accept the prasad unless he had finished his rounds. So then he said that he had a problem. He could not finish his rounds. This was his difficulty. So then Govinda asked him why he couldn't finish his rounds. And he said this was due to spiritual weakness, that he could not complete his prescribed number of rounds. So then at that time, Govinda returned to Lord Chaitanya. And when he returned to him, he explained to him the condition of Haridas Thakur, that now he was so elderly and he was lying down like this and he was not accepting the Mahaprasad. And the Lord immediately understood what was taking place. So he came there very quickly. So then he came there, and when Mahaprabhu understood, he could understand that Haridas Thakur was preparing to leave. So he asked Mahaprabhu if he could have one request. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what did he want? He said, I have one request, that I think that soon you will finish your pastimes. And I don't want to see this final pastime. So please, allow me to leave my body while seeing your lotus face. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he began to weep. And he said to Haridas, I was thinking that I would go before you. You cannot go before me. Now you have made this request, what can I do? And then the Lord started kirtan. And weeping and weeping, the Lord began his kirtan in a very soft mood of separation. And all the Vaishnavas sat around in a circle, and the Lord placed Haridas Thakur's feet on his chest, and Haridas Thakur was able to see the Lord's lotus face, and he constantly chanted Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, constantly chanting and chanting and chanting. And all of the Vaishnavas were also chanting in a very, very quiet, sad mood. And as the kirtan rose higher and higher and higher, then suddenly Haridas Thakur, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna, and he stopped. And he left. And when everybody saw that Haridas Thakur had left his body in such an extraordinary manner, they all began weeping and chanting at the same time. And the mood of the kirtan became so ecstatic. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up Haridas Thakur's transcendental body. And he began dancing in the courtyard, holding his body. And the kirtan became absolutely uproarious. Completely mixed feelings of great sadness and great ecstasy. Then Haridas Thakur's body was placed on a palanquin. And it was taken to the seashore, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself with his own hand started to dig the hole in which Haridas Thakur's body was about to be placed. Then the Lord took Haridas Thakur's body and bathed it in the ocean. And he gave the benediction that from that time on, that place became a very sacred pilgrimage place. And anyone who takes bath there will become completely purified of all sins. Then he placed the transcendental body of Haridas Thakur in the sand. And around his body they placed many sacred items, including Mahaprasad and other remnants from Lord Jagannath. And then with great intense mood of separation, they gradually began to fill up the hall. And when the hall was completely filled, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, taking his own cloth, he went to the Jagannath Mandir and he went shop to shop holding out his own cloth and begging for some prasad in order to have some festival, in order to honor the passing of Haridas Thakur. And the shopkeepers gradually began to give him so many things. But then Swarup Damodar stopped him and sent him back to Gambira, and he himself took charge of collecting all of the prasadam for this feast. Then they took all of the prasadam to the seashore, and there they had a huge feast, and all the Vaishnavas sat down in rows, and Mahaprabhu personally fed them. One after another he went, Vaishnava to Vaishnava, making sure that everybody ate sumptuously, so much Mahaprasad. And then after that, Mahaprabhu gave special benedictions that anyone who had taken part in this ceremony, this festival in honoring Haridas Thakur, would surely get prema bhakti. There would be no doubt about that. So in this way, the Lord honored Haridas Thakur and glorified him in so many wonderful ways. So I want to read also some concluding words about Haridas Thakur that are very interesting. They explain this principle. Vrindavan Das Thakur actually explains that anyone who thinks of or remembers Haridas Thakur, anyone who thinks of him will become free of all pain and all distress. So this is discussed a little bit. Vrindavan Das Thakur says that his reader, inasmuch as whoever remembers Haridas is thereby delivered completely from the possibility of all bodily pain. So this is an interesting benediction for those of us who don't like bodily pain. It is no wonder that Haridas himself was also perfectly immune from any such pain on any occasion. So we know also, of course, unfortunately, I didn't bring them tonight, but we have some slides from Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, which we'll show tomorrow night. And there's a picture there of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing Haridas how he had taken the beating on his own back. He showed him the marks on his own back. Look, I accepted the beating, and therefore you did not feel any pain. And Haridas is feeling so much emotion, seeing the Lord's mercy upon him. So here, we're hearing how, of course, Haridas himself didn't feel any pain, but we also will not feel any pain if we can remember him. Thakur Vrindavan Das is trying to understand the experiences of Haridas in terms of his own. What he means to say is that I, who have been immune from all bodily pain by recollecting Haridas, am in a position to say that neither he nor Prahlad, because he's referring here to Prahlad Maharaj also, who felt no pain. And it's interesting to note that Prahlad Maharaj combined in the incarnation of Haridas with Lord Brahma. And the reason being that Lord Brahma himself could not have tolerated that beating alone. He could not have borne the pain by himself. So therefore Haridas Thakur was a combined incarnation of Prahlad and Lord Brahma. So here he's saying that Prahlad never felt any pain, and he can say this because he, hearing about Haridas Thakur, himself doesn't feel any bodily pain, Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, who wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So then he says, it is necessary to understand here what the writer really means. Why is it, we can ask, that others who were watching this incident were not similarly relieved of their bodily pains? Because we hear how everybody was crying and saying, don't do this, and they were feeling so much distress seeing Haridas Thakur beaten. So why is it that they also were not relieved of their bodily pains? If Vrindavan Das himself claims that he is, and therefore he is given the benediction. It says, why were those people who had an opportunity of actually witnessing all these events instantly relieved of all why were they not instantly relieved of all anxiety on account of the sight of Haridas, which should not be regarded as anything less than recollecting him? If you see him, that's even more than thinking of him. So why were they not relieved? So then, Vrindavan Das Thakur could realize that the devotee of Krishna is not a convict who is put in the prison of this material world of three dimensions like ordinary worldly people. So here the author is describing three-dimensional life. It means within the material realm. We judge everything in a certain way. But somebody who's coming down as a saint, they're not forced to come into our vision of reality. They're not forced to come into the material world. They remain, even though they're performing pastimes, on the transcendental plane, which is referred here to as the fourth dimension, or the transcendental plane. The difficulties of the three dimensions, or the material world, are automatically solved on the plane of the fourth dimension, or the spiritual platform. Although this may pass the understanding of those who are privileged to have a view of the events on the fourth dimension from their platform of the three dimension without being able to dive into their real meaning. So in other words, those who are materially conditioned, they're seeing the platform, the transcendental activities that are taking place before them, but they're seeing them from their material concept and they can't dive in and actually understand what's taking place. By taking the name of Krishna, one is relieved from all worldly sufferings. If one chooses to stick to his platform of three dimensions, material consciousness, he cannot, merely by uttering the word Krishna, avoid the sufferings of this world. So if we don't adjust our consciousness to aspire for spiritual realization, just chanting, without any effort, as Srila Prabhupada would explain, to give up the 10 offenses, to chant purely, then we cannot become free of suffering by that quality of chanting. The suffering of the body is part and parcel of this world. But the soul does not belong to this world and is therefore not subject to bodily sufferings. This is logical. But how can we actually have a realization of this in practice? It can be realized in this world only by one method, and that is by uttering constantly the spiritual name of Krishna. This is divinely ordained, as there cannot be any more logical way out of this impossible difficulty. So we see here that the solution to our problems is to constantly chant the names of Krishna. And Haridas Thakur did that. This was what he was constantly doing. And this is why he is the Namacharya. And this is why he is so important an example for us. Because he was constantly chanting. And being constant in his chanting, he was immune from any suffering. The devotee of Krishna is relieved from all bodily and mental suffering by the realization of his natural condition. The tree is to be judged by its fruit. If by uttering the name of Krishna one is not wholly relieved from all worldly trouble, he cannot claim to have succeeded yet in taking the holy name. So this is the standard. If we are feeling distress, it means that we have not yet fully tasted the holy name. It is only by getting out of the sphere of three dimensions, or any dimensions, that all unwholesomeness can be finally and logically and naturally eliminated. So it's only by getting out of material consciousness, bodily consciousness, that our difficulties can be eliminated. Those who pray to Godhead, this is a very important point. Those who pray to Godhead to give them the power of endurance under trial commit a great blunder. Those who pray to be permitted to serve Godhead on the plane of the Absolute by His causeless grace alone pray truly. Prayer means unconditional reliance on the grace of Godhead. Those who pray in order to gain any object of their present ambition do not pray at all in the scriptural sense. The grace of Godhead will revolutionize our limited outlook and impart other ambitions than those that are giving us such unending and unrelievable trouble. So by the proper prayer for the grace and mercy of Krishna, his mercy will relieve us of the things that are causing us so much trouble. Those ruffians and onlookers who were interested in the fate of Haridas were all of them equally misguided in supposing that a devotee is subject to bodily suffering like themselves. It is to prove by his teaching as well as his conduct that he is not subject to any worldly suffering that Thakur Haridas was displaying these activities in order to induce them to believe in the absolute truth of what he taught. So he had to show this example, and by seeing this example, they could have faith in what he was doing. He who has himself attained to real immunity from all suffering is the proper person to be approached as a teacher of the true method of attaining to a free state. Those ruffians and onlookers were apparently innocent of any such desire, except very few, who were led to reflect seriously on the meaning for themselves of those events. So most of those persons had no personal interest in spiritual emancipation. They were just watching and thinking, this is a terrible act. You cannot do this to any human being. He's also a saint. But they did not understand what was being enacted. So the mere sight of a Vaishnava, under the impression that he is only a mortal, or the mere recollection of a Vaishnava, viewed as a mortal, are properly speaking not seeing or recollecting him at all. The Vaishnava can be really seen and recollected only on the plane of the Absolute, by the pure eye of faith, possessed by the soul in the state of grace. The recollection of such a sight has the efficacy of freeing one from all difficulties. So this is how we have to see with the pure eye of faith. When we think of the Vaishnava, if we think of them that they're an ordinary person, we know this is one of the nama-aparads. If we think of Guru, he's an ordinary person. We're not thinking at all of him. And if we see him and think, oh, there he is, he's just like this, this, and this, I know, he's like that. You're not even seeing him. The endeavor to attain such sight and recollection, the proper sight and the proper recollection, is the spiritual practice available to the novice by the grace of the spiritual teacher. So this is the most important thing, to appreciate the exalted nature of the Vaishnava, the spiritual nature of the Vaishnava. And then one can chant the name in such a way that he can become free of all bodily pain. The process of spiritual novitiate under a pure devotee is not ignored by the words of Vrindavan Das Thakur. The novitiate or the neophyte devotee, being also spiritual in character, or the process of taking up bhakti in the beginning stage, is also spiritual, and it cannot be attained in this iron age except by the method of perfect submission to the teachings of Haridas Thakur. So in other words, even in the beginning stage, before we have these high realizations, our practices are already spiritual. But we have to bring them up and up and up to the realized platform if we want to get the great benefit that Haridas Thakur is offering by his example and teaching us through his own chanting of the holy name. And of those who are privileged to see as well as remember Haridas, he is the acharya of this age of evil. By following his teaching and practice, one can be easily freed from every difficulty. There is no other way of our final and true liberation. So this is the story of Haridas Thakur. I'd like to just read a little from the introduction of Harinam Chintamani, which is another very important book in which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us really important instructions about chanting, using the character of Haridas and Lord Chaitanya speaking to each other as the setting for which he's describing about each of the nam aparats, the different offenses, how to avoid them, what they are. So much valuable advice is being spoken through the mouth of Haridas to Lord Chaitanya. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his introduction says, a unique feature of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is that he made the devotee who excelled in a particular aspect of devotional service his mouthpiece for broadcasting that topic to the whole world. So we see this. He used certain devotees who had certain excellences to show and instruct everybody about that particular thing. By inquiring about a few points on chanting from Srila Haridas, the Lord preached the principles of the holy name. These subjects have been discussed in scriptures like Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, etc. Inspired by certain Vaishnavas, we compiled the made the devotee who excelled in a particular aspect of devotional service his mouthpiece for broadcasting that topic to the whole world. So we see this. He used certain devotees who had certain excellences to show and instruct everybody about that particular thing. By inquiring about a few points on chanting from Srila Haridas, the Lord preached the principles of the holy name. These subjects have been discussed in scriptures like Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, etc. Inspired by certain Vaishnavas, we compiled the teachings of Haridas Thakur into the present book form. We received several other books about Haridas, Srila Haridas, but unfortunately many of them contained unauthorized and scripturally fallacious statements, so they had to be rejected. But one of them appeared to have been written by an elevated Vaishnava. It explained the esoteric mellow of chanting the holy name. Reading it gave us considerable joy. We could surmise that Srila Haridas must have instructed a saintly Vaishnava on the philosophy of the holy name, and that Vaishnava in turn penned these valuable teachings in a book dedicated to his initiating spiritual master. We extended our heartfelt gratitude to the sender of the book from Sri Hatta. The Harinam Chintamani has recorded these precious edicts glorifying the holy name. This book, therefore, is being published for the pleasure of the devotees surrendered to the Lord and his transcendental name. We firmly believe that only those who have taken shelter of the holy name will read this book. others will not. Therefore, we do not expect any arguments or challenges about the holy name from them. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or anybody wants to make any points on the life or the teachings or the example of Haridas Thakur. He was informed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when he saw the chakra, he should think that he was taking the darshan of Lord Jagannath himself. So he probably thought exactly like that. And he was happy just to look from Siddha Bakul and see the chakra on top and feel completely satisfied with his humble position. Any more questions? Yes, Prabhu. I don't think I've read anything that says one or the other, but it would be logical to believe that he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So just as Swarup Damodar is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, and also he's Lalita Devi. She's Lalita Devi in Vrindavan, or Murari Gupta is serving in Ram Leela and also serving in Chaitanya Leela. It would be safe to say that Haridas Thakur would eternally serve in that form. And Lord Brahma, what was his position? Which Lord Brahma? It would have to be studied more carefully. Which Lord Brahma? Is this the Lord Brahma that spoke the Chatusloka? Is this the Lord Brahma who was creating the universe and became sometimes bewildered? Is this... one would have to research it more deeply. I have no answer to that. Yes. I think we can't understand it. I think it's a case of one of those things that's inconceivable. We just accept it on the word of Vrindavan Das Thakur. When he is explaining the story of Haridas Thakur, he tells us like that, and he's Veda Vyas. So how it can be the two jivas, how long they stay together, when did they join? Do they talk to each other in there? Who makes the decisions? I think it's a little inconceivable. I don't think we can compare it with anything. I think it's something, there are many things like that, that we're warned by the different commentators who are telling these pastimes, that we should just hear them with faith, because they're inconceivable. The example is also given that Yogamaya appeared as the daughter of Yasoda Devi and was transferred to the palace of Kamsa. And then when Kamsa tried to kill the daughter, appeared as Mahamaya. So someone can say, well, how did that happen? But we're recommended to just hear it and accept it on faith. Any more questions? A very good question. Dadu?
Is there any mention anywhere who was the spiritual master of the world?
No, there's no mention. But there is mention that Advaita Acharya paid him a great deal of respect. But there's... Yeah. There's no mention that he had a guru. There are some cases like that in the eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Perhaps it was not their assignment to show that particular thing. Somebody else would show the example of strict obedience and love of their guru. But Haridas Thakur's specialty was in his example of his chanting. So there's no reference given by Krishnadas Kaviraj of his guru.
And you have not mentioned that Maya Devi.
I was waiting for you to mention that, Dadu. You can tell. Yes, Maya Devi came herself personally, and she tried to convince Haridas to stop chanting, and she used every method and tactic that works very easily on an ordinary person like us, but she could not in any way sway him. And Prabhupada points out that even Ajamil was such a pious Brahmin boy, and he was so well situated, but he became confused and lost sight of the goal of life. But Haridas Thakur was so protected by his chanting of the holy names that he didn't become shaken in any way. So Maya Devi paid her obeisances and became his disciple. How powerful he was. Any more questions? All right, we'll stop here. Jai. Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Haridas Thakur ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.